Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Congratulations to both the Buckeyes and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish for getting to this point. Amazing. It's been a really long, long, long season. And that's the part that stands out to me. I guess I don't know for sure because I didn't go back and look at every single college football national championship ever. But considering that this is the expanded playoff the first year and that the college football playoff committee and the commissioners, the power commissioners in college sports, came up with this new fangled idea, it's pretty clear that this is the latest college football national championship game on the calendar ever. It doesn't work, I don't think. To take nothing away from what the Buckeyes and the Irish accomplished, to take nothing away from their battle of attrition, if you will, to play this many extra games. And in the case of Ohio State, having to run through the gauntlet in the playoff, not getting that bye in the first round, but having to steadily and systematically move their way through this playoff until they get to the championship game and they're the last team standing. And I've said to you before, we'll talk more about this, and their transformation, quote unquote, maybe their revival, their resurgence, after losing to Michigan 13-10 in late November, this was a metamorphosis. I don't want to say it was a transformation because we knew the team was there. Ohio State, its program, its athletes, its coaching, the athletic department, the money that's spent, all of that is geared toward winning championships. So congratulations to the Buckeyes. And we'll hear from Will Howard and Quinshon Judkins with his 4 touchdowns on this night. And definitely we'll hear from the Notre Dame contingent as well. It's the thrill of victory. It's the agony of defeat. And again, they put so much into it. Weeks longer than what we've ever seen before. But I'm not sure it works. In fact, if you're asking me, if I were a betting gal, I would say the college football playoff committee and the college football commissioners who are in charge of this spectacle, they will tweak the system. And by that, I mean the dates. When these games are played, how quickly they start with the playoff. This was maybe an aberration. It might not happen. Well, it certainly won't happen on Inauguration Day every 4 years. It's unlikely to fall on Inauguration Day, but it did today. And it was also a holiday. People are coming off of a weekend in which maybe they're out of their regular routines. But a lot of people spending the day either with family, being away, maybe traveling back from wherever they were, or engaged with other things, and then to have the game tonight, but also 10 days after the semifinals were wrapped up. The NFL doesn't even do that. Now, granted, those guys are professionals, and sometimes they have shorter work weeks, but 10 days after the semifinals is too long. And now the NFL is in the mix. And the sports world, if you will, a lot of it has moved on. Unless, of course, you are there in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz, where it seemed to be a great atmosphere. But it seems like nationally, especially considering the ratings and the TV viewership that we saw for the semifinals, which were a Thursday and a Friday night, the college football playoff has typically held its championship on Mondays, but not this late in January. Do not underestimate the impact of the NFL already being two rounds deep in its playoffs. As people are all consuming and all engaged, all in on the NFL. And there is such a thing as the fatigue of feeling like it's appointment TV, can't miss football. I know we're crazy around here. And last weekend we spent five consecutive days and nights watching football. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Not every family does that. The average American does not sit around and watch football five consecutive nights. There are a lot of us that will do that, but more often what you're having is people picking and choosing. The games in which they're most interested, a game in which their favorite teams are playing, but five nights in a row last weekend, and then three more nights, well, 3 days and nights this week. It's a lot to ask. And because the NFL went first on Saturday and Sunday with the huge games, and I'm not sure if you saw the ratings, but the TV viewership is through the roof for the NFL. It'll be interesting to see how it goes and what the numbers show about this Monday night game. But then throw into the mix the fact that after Notre Dame's initial nearly 10-minute opening drive to score a touchdown, Ohio State rallied with 31 consecutive points. And so that's early in the second half. About midway through the third quarter, Ohio State had a 31-7 lead. On a night before people are going back to work, students are going back to school, what do you want to bet? There were a lot of people who, if they were watching, turned off the TV at that point. Barely 8 minutes into the second half, or I should say, sorry, 8 minutes left on the clock in the third quarter. So barely, 7 minutes into the second half. Not even middle of that third quarter. It's a 31-7 advantage for the Buckeyes. So for college football, I'm not sure this is the best format, but it does seem like I've seen some of the stipulations of the contract for the expanded playoff, and it does seem like they have the ability to move these games around. A lot of people talking about earlier in this bowl run, if you will, this bowl schedule, which there's way too many bowls as it is, but earlier, get started with the opening round and then maybe bump everything back. I don't know if it's possible to schedule the national championship around New Year's Day, but I would say the first week in January, you're likely to get the most captive audience. Think about it. That's the end of the NFL regular season, and not all the games have an impact. So the audience is more fractured. Hey, I'm watching my team to see whether or not they secured the number one pick in the draft. I'm watching this game because it matters, and it's two really high-profile teams. But for the most part, that week 18 of the NFL season is not nearly as compelling. Every game, you've got some compelling games, but not every game is must-see TV. So if you hold the national championship on, say, the Monday after that final weekend of the NFL season, it feels a lot more optimal. But that's just me. You tell me what you think. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. My opening monologue, it wasn't even really intended to be that way, but it's been on my mind and on my heart, and I needed to get it out. Just as significant. And yes, I'm being tongue-in-cheek when I say that. Did you guys see the video of Ryan Day and Will Howard in the golf cart? And the lady, well, she looks like a young woman to me. The young woman driving it crashes it into the wall underneath the stadium. So they're in the bowls of the stadium. Bowls? They're in the bowels. They're in the bowels of the stadium. And she's driving them probably from the field to either their locker room or to a press conference. And she crashes the golf cart into a wall. If you haven't seen it, it's hysterical. And it's on my Twix now at A-Law Radio. It's good stuff. Please go watch it. We'll get the reaction from Ryan Day as well as from Will Howard and some of the other names that you'll remember from this national championship or names that we're going to talk about. Thankfully, no one was injured in the crashing of the golf cart. Poor girl. Can you imagine how mortified she is? There are cameras everywhere. They have, if you've never been underneath a stadium or back in the concourses or the tunnels of a stadium, when they have these big events, and this could apply to either a sporting event or some type of a rally or a concert, they have roped off areas where they'll have VIPs that are allowed to get close to the athletes, the entertainers, whoever the celebrities are. So they'll have a roped off area. A lot of times it's either VIP tickets that are issued or it's family members and friends who can be underneath waiting for their loved one to come through. And so there's a roped off area. And as the golf cart is driving by, again, headed for the locker room or somewhere that Ryan Day and his players needed to be, there's I guess not enough room. It looks like she tried to back up and move forward again. And runs the golf cart into a wall. And really funny that there's cameras everywhere. Again, she's mortified. I don't know if someone finds out her name or she goes viral. It'll only sting for a minute. She'll be fine. But I can imagine she felt like like a dope. I would have. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook and then on Twix at A-Law Radio. You'd like to see that video, or if you would like to vote for Monday MVP. This is NFL Divisional Weekend, Monday MVP. We've got an hour to go, and I love the names that are there. I really do. It's been a lot of fun to watch these playoffs unfold and know that they're not going according to the script, if you will. And we've got two more games coming up before the Super Bowl, but that's it, right? Three games left. There were more games this past weekend than there are remaining. Three games left. So let's talk. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Now, we have a lot to do on this edition of the show because the big breaking news, and yes, we will get back to college football and we'll walk through the main, well, the memorable moments and the main turning points from this game between Notre Dame and Ohio State. But I don't want to do it when I'm getting so close to a break, because that would be awkward and I'd either run too long like I did on last night's show, or I'd have to break right in the middle. So the big news coming from the NFL is that the Chicago Bears will hire Ben Johnson as their next head coach. We know that he and defensive coordinator, so he's the OC, the DC, Aaron Glenn, have been interviewing in robust fashion. Almost every job available in the NFL, they've been interviewing for those head coaching jobs over the bye week with the Lions, right? And even as they're preparing for that game against Washington, Chicago was one of the earliest teams to fire its head coach. So we saw the Jets, the Saints, and then the Bears all in season. Johnson, highly coveted by many teams, including the reports that Tom Brady really wanted him for the Raiders. And our friend Hondo Carpenter, who covers the Raiders for SI and has been on the show a bunch, he had put posts out there around Ben Johnson and how much Tom Brady and the, it's not just Tom Brady, of course, but Mark Davis and the ownership contingent, the front office for the Raiders was really interested in hiring Ben Johnson. But of the, get this, 17 candidates that Chicago interviewed for its job, Pete, what did you call this they were going to dig so deep that they were going to strike oil or hit a pipeline.
More hit a pipeline.
17 candidates. 17 conducted for this head coaching vacancy. Weirdly enough, I don't know why this was in the news story that I read. Only three of them were in person. Everything else was over Zoom. I hate Zoom, but that's just me. Ryan Poles had told us we're going to dig deep and cast a wide net. They certainly did, but you know what? They ended up inside their own division with 38-year-old Ben Johnson, who will leave the Lions and head to the Bears. So not Mike McCarthy, obviously. Dan Campbell, as part of the Lions exit interviews, was asked about having to replace maybe both Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. And, of course, we now know that Johnson is on his way out.
I'm not going to be in a hurry. You know, I'm not in a mad dash. No matter what happens, I want to do what's right by our team and what I believe is going to, you know, those guys will be able to stand in front of that room and command respect and get everybody going in the same direction. We've got guys on staff that I think are more than qualified and would be outstanding in those roles. But that does not mean that I'm not looking outside either. So I want what I believe is going to be as close to what we have been as possible.
Dan Campbell, subdued, maybe not quite as emotional as he was on Saturday, but no doubt it's setting in. Reality's setting in as the Lions fall short. And it's not just the Lions. Of course, the Texans failing to get to an AFC championship game for the first time. We know that the Eagles get to host this game coming up. But then think about the other side, right? The other teams and that agony of defeat and the Rams. I don't know how many expectations they had to start the season, but it doesn't mean that by the time they got to this divisional round that they weren't believing they could win it. And obviously the Ravens coming up short against the Bills and the turnovers and the what-ifs there as well. So for Dan Campbell to stand there on Monday, and he wasn't the only one. There were a bunch of other coaches, too, that were in front of microphones and players as part of their what they call the exit interviews, cleaning out their lockers. So we'll go back and we'll talk about these teams and starting their off seasons. But Dan Campbell, one of the first things he's talking about is how he may have to hire some new coordinators. And we'll hear, again, more from him. This is interesting, too. According to some of the reports out there, Ben Johnson already working on his staff. And guess who he made tab to be his defensive coordinator in Chicago? Former Saints head coach Dennis Allen, who has a lot of experience. Ben Johnson's never been a head coach. He's 38 years old. I don't recall how old Mike McDonald is in Seattle. McDonald's now the youngest, but there's a handful of guys that are in their late 30s. Sean McVay, same thing when he took over. And what did he do? He hired Wade Phillips, who'd been around for decades in the NFL, to be his right-hand man, his wisdom and experience. And here is Ben Johnson, who maybe turns to a former head coach in Dennis Allen to be his DC. McDonald 37, thank you, Pete. So you're talking about guys that don't have a lot of experience. They're going to learn on the job. There is a learning curve. Bears also heavily pursuing Darren Rizzi, who took over for Dennis Allen to be their special teams coordinator. That coming from Adam Schefter. So we've got a lot of the latest newsy information, the newsy intel about the coaching searches. And yes, Ohio State winning another national championship, climbing from the depths where Ryan Day was nearly run out of town, run out of Columbus after they lost to Michigan again, 13-10. But that was November, and this is January, 7 weeks later. Wow, that's how long this took. 7 weeks! At A-Law Radio, vote for our Monday MVP. You can also find us on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Hope you enjoyed the holiday weekend. If you're getting back into your routine, glad to have you with us. Thanks so much for hanging out. It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network.
comes the 18th play of the opening drive of the national championship. Hunter takes it. He'll keep it. He's in! Touchdown, Notre Dame! It's the opening drive of a lifetime! The Irish lead 6-0, and they start the game with an all-time tone setter. Unbelievable!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I would agree with that. Wow, this was a drive for the ages. If Notre Dame could have managed to put together, I don't know, four drives like the way they opened the game, they would have had a much better chance to win this against Ohio State. Now, it didn't play out that way, but it definitely did entertain us for the first quarter. 9 minutes and 45 seconds, 18 plays, of which half of them were Riley Leonard carries. He gets in for the touchdown, as you hear, with Tony Simone on the Notre Dame Radio Network. As it was, there were only six total drives in the first half between the two teams combined, because that one took up almost 10 minutes. So quite a statement by the Irish to begin the night. And if you're Ohio State and you're on the sidelines, aren't you antsy? You have to sit there after the opening kick. You're all revved up. You've warmed up. The crowd is crazy in Atlanta, and then you have to...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sit there for 10 minutes of game time. Forget how long it actually took. 10 minutes of game time before you ever get to touch the ball if you're Will Howard. However, once Ohio State did touch the ball, there was no holding the Buckeyes back.
Second down, Ohio State at the Notre Dame 8-yard line. Tight end Scott motioning all over the place. Howard gets the snap, fakes a handoff, sets up to throw, screens it out right side, and Jeremiah Smith with it to the 5, and he'll dance into the end zone for an Ohio State touchdown. Jeremiah Smith from 8 yards out. He gets what ends up being his fifth touchdown of the playoffs. And the Buckeyes are a PAT away from tying this game. First and goal from the Notre Dame line. Judkins the give. Going left side off one defender. Judkins to the 5. Judkins to the goal line and into the end zone for a touchdown. Quinshon Judkins bouncing off of defenders. 9-yard TD run. Quinshon Judkins. And Ohio State has their first lead of the night. Will Howard in the shotgun. Gets the snap. Howard back to throw. Sets up, looks all over, takes off running. Will Howard now throws into the end zone, wide open, and it's Judkins with a catch for the score. Will Howard started to run right up the middle, but he finds Quinshon Judkins on a 6-yard TD pass play, And Ohio State now with a 20-7 lead over Notre Dame. Howard under center. Hands to Judkins. Straight ahead goes Judkins and into the end zone for another touchdown. Quinshon Judkins, a one-yard jaunt to the end zone. His second rushing touchdown, his third of the night. And it's 27-7, Ohio State ahead of Notre Dame.
Well, it took a while, but that's what happened. Ohio State dominated, overwhelming Notre Dame's defense at that point forward. Paul Keels with the calls on the Buckeyes Radio Network. Four straight drives and four straight touchdowns. And what a performance from Quinshon Judkins. 11 carries for 100 yards and two touchdowns. And then a couple of catches for 21 more yards. And another touchdown. So he was busy. As for Will Howard, he throws for a couple. He also has 57 rushing yards. The Buckeyes did not let up. At that point, it was all gas and no brakes. But amazing to see them take that ball and take the initiative and not really give Notre Dame a foothold until a little bit later in the game. So they build a 31-7 lead. It went from 7-0 to 31-7 about midway through the third quarter. And in that fourth quarter, Notre Dame able to score a couple of touchdowns with the two-point conversions. Still, though, 9.5 minutes to go. The Irish trailing 31-15. And Marcus Freeman from the 9-yard line. So they're facing third and goal from the 9. Unsuccessful. Fourth and goal now from the 9. You're trailing by 16 points. It's a chip shot of a kick. Now remember, this is college, so chip shots, they're not actual chip shots. But instead of going for the touchdown, trailing by 16 with time running out, Freeman chooses to go for the field goal. And it's a doink from 27 yards out, which leaves them still trailing by 16. This is pretty significant. And I know he talked about it. It's Marcus Freeman number 4, Pete, if you want to grab it. And we talked about it after the fact, his thought process. He got ripped for it. Even had they made the field goal, they're still trailing at that point 31-18. So you're still down by 2 scores. But this was his thought process.
I think it was 4th and 9 or 10. And I just thought, you know, instead of being down 16, let's try to go down 13. And I know it's still a 2-score game, but you have a better probability of getting 14 points than you do 16 points. And so if it was a shorter fourth and goal situation, I probably would have gone for it. But I just felt 4th and 9 was not a great chance for us to make that. And, you know, and decided to kick it, and we didn't make it.
He does lay out his thought process. Yes, it is easier to put 14 points on the board than it is to put 16 points on the board. And from 27 yards out, your probability is fairly high. And so he felt like it was the right decision at that moment. And I guess given how things were going or had gone on that last drive, maybe. As it turned out, though, they needed more than what that field goal or even a touchdown there could afford them. We didn't see a whole lot from the superstar wide receiver, Jeremiah Smith, the freshman for Ohio State, in the second half. In fact, he had just one touch, but he had a reception when the Buckeyes needed it most. 2.5 minutes to go, facing a 3rd and 11, not wanting to give the ball back to the Irish.
Howard out of the shotgun, back to pass at his own 25. He'll gun that deep down the right side, and it is caught by Jeremiah Smith at the 30 of Notre Dame. He's taken to the Fighting Irish 10-yard line by cornerback Christian Gray. Howard to Smith, getting the Buckeyes in the Giant Eagle red zone.
Not only the Giant Eagle red zone, but the fact that they didn't have to give the ball back after that. So a big moment there. Although, are you sure that was it, Pete? Because I didn't hear the crowd. The crowd went crazy when Jeremiah Smith caught that ball with 2.5 to go. I just want to make sure it's It sounded like it, but where was the crowd?
That I can't tell you. They didn't have the boom mic going. I don't know, but that's the right cut.
Because you watch it on TV, and it's the crowd goes nutso when he catches the ball. Interesting. Okay. I mean, it sounded right, of course, but not a whole lot of excitement either from Paul Keels on the Buckeyes Radio Network. Wow. Okay. I guess I was expecting something different. A 56-yard catch, and they are able to run out the clock at that point, or I guess able to make sure Notre Dame doesn't get it back, and that kind of seals it with 2.5 minutes to go. Like I said, you watch on TV, and the crowd goes kind of crazy. I don't hear it there. Interesting. All right. So Paul Keels and Tony Simone, the voices of Ohio State and Notre Dame. And yeah, after building a 31-7 lead, able to keep the Notre Dame Fighting Irish at bay. And you look and listen to them talking after this game, and we'll get more of the reaction. But something that Ryan Howard talked about over and over again is the journey. The fact that they stuck together. And of course, they're referring to losing to Michigan, not making the conference championship game, late November, feeling that crushing blow, only to then rally and have to take what is an infinitely more difficult route through the playoff. But yeah, you heard the word journey and how they fought through adversity to get to this point.
God made it hard for a reason. And, you know, you just never know what's in your path along the way. But this game can give you the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. It can take you to your knees some days as a player and as a coach. And I've been there before.
A lot of them talked about that same thing. And also praising Ryan Day for his leadership through that process. Plenty of emotions on the side of the Irish, too. And so we'll hear the reaction from Atlanta coming up. At A-Law Radio, if you want to vote for our Monday MVP, what do you think about, we don't have a lot of time, but maybe, Marco, if you want to weigh in next hour about the calendar and the schedule. It's hard sometimes for us to judge because we're in the business, but I did see a lot of people talking about the fact that it didn't feel like the same buzz around this game because of where it was and how long it's been since the semifinals and how stretched out. Plus the NFL is now in the mix, and the NFL generally tends to suck all the air out of a room. So yeah, I kind of think this is the wrong calendar and they need to back it up a little bit because they waited so long to start the playoff. But at the same time, the commissioners do have the chance to change it, so we'll see what they do.
Yeah, I don't know how much you can back it up to because of all the scheduling conflicts into December, but I mean, I feel like everybody just complains to complain.
Well, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I didn't think that it just didn't fit to me. It's too, again, once the NFL gets in the mix, you're
always going to be back. So you're guaranteed. Yeah, you're right.
You can only ask people to sit around and watch TV, a football game, so many nights in a row. And last week it was 5 nights in a row or 5 days in a row. And this week on a holiday weekend, you know, the games are so big in the NFL, they tend to dwarf pretty much anything else.
The only way is if you don't have any weeks off leading into the bowl games, which I don't know if they're eligible and able to do. You want to do it then and do it where, again, it winds up being the national championship game the day after this NFL regular season ends.
Yeah. To me, that makes more sense.
You got to back it up a lot. Yeah, you're starting early and then you got no layoff. I don't know if they have the ability with their schedule to do it. And once the NFL starts their playoffs, I don't care what round it is, you're always going to feel like you're dwarfed in the shadow of the NFL. That's just, unfortunately, Get in line with everyone else. You're football, but you're not the NFL. Get in line with everybody else. You're always going to be in the shadow of that.
I'll check the dates, but I think they took almost 2 weeks off before they started the first round of the playoffs, which is a lot. So I'll check those dates and we can talk about it more. But love to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Get more reaction from the Irish and the Buckeyes following the national championship game and another one for Ohio State. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network.
Sports Flash.
Name was sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Ohio State watched their 24-point lead dwindle to 8, needing a big play on a third down to hold off a Notre Dame comeback.
Howard out of the shotgun. Back to pass at his own 25. He'll gun that deep down the right side, and it is caught by Jeremiah Smith at the 30 of Notre Dame. He's taken to the Fighting Irish 10-yard line by cornerback Christian Gray. Howard to Smith, getting the Buckeyes in the Giant Eagle red zone.
Jeremiah Smith, 5 catches, none bigger than that 56-yarder on a 3rd and 11 with 2:38 remaining. 88 yards and a touchdown and all for Smith as Ohio State held off Notre Dame 34-23. Call courtesy of the Ohio State Radio Network. Will Howard threw for 231, 2 scores. Quinshon Judkins, 100 yards rushing, 3 total touchdowns. Riley Leonard accounted for 278 and 3 total scores, but it's Ohio State capturing their 9th national championship. Ryan Day is first, but quick to deflect the praise onto his players.
The stories of these guys will be told because they've cemented themselves in Ohio State history. The 9th national champ and the 3rd, really, in the last 50 years. There's been some great, great teams in the last, 50-some-odd years at Ohio State. Great teams, great players. Only 3 of the national champs, and these guys are one of them.
NFL Bears have landed a new head coach, going with former Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. Bears getting the hottest young coach on the market as the 38-year-old has helped turn Detroit into a premier offense in his 3 years on the job. Now looking to take Caleb Williams to Chicago to the next level. Colts, they go Lou Anarumo as their defense coordinator. Anarumo spent the last 6 years with the Bengals as he takes over for Gus Bradley in Indy. NBA, the Celtics just bury the Warriors 125-85. Pelicans outlast the Jazz 123-119 in overtime. C.J. McCollum with 45. Cavs ripped the Suns 118-92. Donovan Mitchell 33. Knicks rallied by the Hawks 119-110. Jalen Brunson at 34. Grizzlies upend the T-Wolves 108-106. Bulls drill the Clippers 112-99. Hornets top the Mavericks 110-105. And the Pistons erase the Rockets 107-96. Behind 32, 9 rebounds and 7 assists from Cade Cunningham. In baseball, Blue Jays and outfielder Anthony Santander agree to a 5-year deal, $92.5 million. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
McGuire puts it down, Fielding with a kick. That went through the uprights. Jaden Fielding, 33-yard field goal. So Ohio State's lead has now swollen to 34-23 over Notre Dame with 26 seconds remaining. Leonard gets the snap. Back to throw, Riley Leonard. Rolls to his right at his 20. Leonard sails that middle of the field where it's caught by Greathouse. He's tackled at the 40. Tackled by Jordan Hancock, and Ohio State national champions beating Notre Dame tonight 34-23, the 9th national championship in Ohio State history.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Paul Keels, the longtime voice of Ohio State Buckeyes football on their radio network. A triumphant finish after they lost to Michigan on November 30th, if you remember the uproar, it was quite a call for Ryan Day's head on a platter. And yet they had to stick together. And he talked multiple times, as did members of the Ohio State roster, about the journey to get to this point. Will Howard was even asked about that Michigan loss going back to late November when they did not have a chance to play for the conference championship.
You get into big games like this, whoever is able to, have the poise and the noise and be able to, overcome adversity, because it wasn't always pretty today. It wasn't always perfect, and it's never going to be. But I think we, the team that we have and the leadership that we have with Coach Day, with just the resilience that this team has shown all year, it's just unbelievable.
I think Coach Day has great leadership. All the guys in the locker room, we all follow him. He's been tremendous as far as motivating us, being a great players coach, and just keeping us motivated throughout the season. He did a great job at that.
Quinshon Judkins piling on and essentially echoing what Will Howard had to say about the leadership of Ryan Day. And it was never more needed than it was there following that loss to Michigan, which is essentially the cardinal sin if you're Ohio State. But this question popped into my head as I was watching the Buckeyes rattle off four consecutive touchdowns and then go up 31-7. Buckeyes fans, Buckeyes Nation, and I have many family members who count themselves OSU fans. In fact, when I was growing up, I didn't realize there were other OSUs. When I moved to Oklahoma and started my sports radio journey there, and they would call Oklahoma State OSU, I thought they were talking about Ohio State. Of course, now there are many OSUs, but when I was growing up, because my grandparents, my mom's whole side of the family are from Ohio, the only OSU I knew was Ohio State University. And so I got a lot of family members who are Buckeyes fans, but wouldn't you rather have the national championship than beat Michigan? Could have been an easier path, I suppose, if you were given the bye because you won the Big Ten championship, but that's not the road they took, and this is even more impressive. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As for Notre Dame getting back to this championship, having an opportunity to play on the biggest stage as an independent, now some would say that that is an advantage. Others would say it's a disadvantage, but certainly Marcus Freeman, now one of the hottest coaches out there. A lot of people talk about how he could be a coach in the NFL. Let's not get crazy. But really proud of his team, especially the guys that he looks at as leaders, Riley Leonard and Jack Kaiser.
These guys gave everything they got. And you sit up here and you listen to these two guys speak and the passion they have for Notre Dame and each other in that locker room. I mean, I'm just sitting here listening like, this is one of the greatest gifts in life, is to be able to be the leader of this program, because you have great young people like this that share the blame when you have, to share the success when you win, and own the blame when you lose.
To have Coach Freeman, yeah, it's about the people. It's the people that's made this place different, and it just shows where this program's heading. The people in this building are the best. Absolute best.
That's Jack Kaiser, and you can hear him getting choked up. It's hard not to be emotional when you've poured heart, soul, blood, sweat, and tears into it, and they definitely have. You come to the end, your tank is empty, so to speak, and that's what Freeman refers to. And so at this point, what do you say? Well, you say, I love you. Thank you for giving it everything you've got. And that's one of the differences about college sports. I could say that there are some NFL programs or pro sports teams who have a family as a family atmosphere as their identity. I think the Commanders talk about that a bunch. And there are NBA teams. I know the Cavaliers. It's no surprise that the teams that often have a family-type culture have the type of chemistry that you can't manufacture or buy or create using analytics. And so when they talk about the journey and they talk about the process and they talk about sticking together, they talk about how they get through this. Well, you know, a lot of that is forged because they care about one another. It's corporate synergy, if you will. You care more about the guy on your right, the gal on your left, than you do about your own individual goals and dreams. And sometimes they all line up.
The stories of these guys will be told because they've cemented themselves in Ohio State history, the ninth national champ and the third, really, in the last 50 years. There's been some great, great teams. In the last, 50-some-odd years at Ohio State, great teams, great players. Only three have been national champs, and these guys are one of them.
Congratulations to Ryan Day and his awesome roster of players. And very often in college football, the turnover, it's drastic, especially after teams win a championship or compete for a championship. Why? Well, because especially in today's atmosphere, you've got other schools that are offering money. Hey, come here. We saw you play. You'd be great here. You'll be the superstar. You'll be the centerpiece. By the way, Ohio State reportedly spending more than $20 million on its roster. $20 million. But you know what? After the Buckeyes grabbed their first national title since 2014, I bet they would tell you, the athletic director would tell you, it was all worth it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.